Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is Championship Week Video Notebook Day Number 9. We are in the stretch run here for the Championship Week. We are coming in real close to all the major conferences starting, and we've got a lot to discuss. This is the show where we review all the day's conference tournament games, preview the next day's games. I am Chad Sherwood, your host, joined by David Griggs, the puppet, live from the Puppet Bunker.
Yeah, well, yeah. When am I getting out of here?
How's the air quality in there?
It's not. It's kind of stale in here, Chad. It's dark, and it's like I'm ready to get out of here now.
We got to get him a can of Febreze or something. John Stalica with us as well down there at the bottom in the Stalica bunker.
That would be the bracket bunker, which is a little more well-ventilated.
Yeah. Oh, no, Joe Lenardi's in the bracket bunker. That doesn't look like Joe Lenardi's bracket bunker at all there. That's.
Does he have a copyright on the bracket bunker?
It's not an actual bunker, so I would say no.
That might be more of an air raid bunker in there, in fact, Stalica. Yeah. I don't know. we thought we had one more person joining us. He might be joining us in a few here. If he does, we'll jump in right then at that point. But let's start with news and notes. Not much, David, unless you heard of anything in news and notes for the day.
No, it's been a red letter day in college admissions.
Billy Kennedy out of Texas A&M. That might be one of the biggest.
No, I didn't hear that until just now. Really? Yeah. Oh,
yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yes, news and notes. Billy Kennedy out of Texas A&M.
1 year removed from a Sweet 16, by the way. Well done, Texas A&M.
And word is that everyone's favorite referee, Carl Hess, is also not coming back next year. So.
And there was much rejoicing.
Let's go right to the games, though. And we are going to pull the screen up here if it works. If it doesn't work, then we'll see pictures of God knows what. West Coast Conference championship game was tonight, and as they've done, they've won every single West Coast Conference game by double digits all season long, and Stalica Gonzaga just cruised again over St. Mary's by about 35 points, as we all expected.
Yep, and we have a little bit of an issue on our screen here.
So. Oops. David, what the hell happened?
In terms of upsets, it was very, very big. As you said, like St. Mary's was within arm's reach of the bubble. They wouldn't have gotten in without winning this game. I'm fairly certain of that. But there have been bigger upsets. But I guess it's just Gonzaga was playing so well. I think it was one of the more unexpected. I was shocked. Like, it was one of those games that I almost would have considered not even watching. It's like, oh, that one's the – it's a foregone conclusion who's going to win. You can kind of skip that game or take it off. And I didn't really start watching it until the second half, to be honest, because I was paying more attention to the Summit League and some of the other stuff that was going on.
And let's not forget, over 24 hours ago, it looked like San Diego actually had a good chance of knocking out St. Mary's. So the Gales certainly would have been out had they lost to the Toreros in that one.
I got a couple of profiles up on the screen here. Here is that St. Mary's profile. And I think we are being joined by Zach right now. Are you there, Zach?
Yeah, what's up, guys? Sorry for my delayed join, much like the Hartford UMBC game. It wasn't really good at the beginning, and then I jumped in. Nice to be with you guys.
Well, Zach, let me ask this. The St. Mary's Gales may now have the best win of anybody in the entire nation all year. They beat Gonzaga, a full-strength Gonzaga team, even with Tilly on a neutral court.
Yeah, no, it was very impressive. Defensively, they were tremendous. And, hey, you know what? It's amazing. It's almost as if Randy Bennett going out and actually having a non-conference schedule worth something strengthened his team and prepared them for March. If only anybody had ever suggested they do that previously. It's almost like everybody would have been right.
But the Gales are in, and David, 12 seed, 11 seed?
This win alone, it's kind of funny. Without this, they weren't inside the bubble. I mean, it could have been maybe a 80-team field, and maybe they would have gotten in. With this win, and, yeah, a one win like this can completely change the complexion of your profile. Yeah, I could see them 12 or 11. And the other thing that's in play is it's going to open up one less spot because it's one less first-ballot team that's going to win a conference tournament. So what do you call it, a bubble bursting or whatever?
What you call that is Boston College's at-large chances are really, really taking a hurt. Let's look at a few of the conference championship games, though. Colonial Tournament Championship game was today, and what ended up being a very good tournament start to finish. And Northeastern had this game, but Hofstra kept making runs at them. Sleeka, but Northeastern does get the win, as I predicted, of course.
Yeah, they had a double-digit lead earlier in this game, and Hofstra was able to come back and at least tie the game, but never was able to get completely over the hump. This wasn't surprising when you considered how Hofstra finished the season and Northeastern finally seemed to catch fire once they got completely healthy.
And Zach, are they holding parades up there in New England?
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you what. It really is an incredible time for Northeastern athletics. Off topic, because Saturday, for the first time in school history, they're hosting a men's hockey tournament game. They're hosting a women's NCAA tournament hockey game, and now they're going back to the big dance. Just another tremendous job by Bill Carmody and Northeastern, again, back in the dance. And, you know, it's hard to believe that Bill Carmody.
I was about to wonder what Bill Carmody got the job there, but go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Bill Cohen taking back to the tournament for the first time since 2015. And I'll tell you what, there's another program in the city of Boston that might be looking for a basketball coach. They could do a lot worse than Bill Cohen. But for right now, Northeastern, you know, it's incredibly difficult for them in the Colonial compared to a lot of teams, simply because of the travel is greater for them than for a lot of teams. But it's a team that dispatched Hofstra, you know, in the last two meetings this year. They almost actually beat them the first time they met up, which was at Hofstra. They were the strongest team. I was rooting for Hofstra, kind of, you know, it would have been a nice story. They haven't been to the tournament since 2001. But Northeastern is the best team. And I wonder if they could maybe cause some noise next week.
Yeah.
They scheduled really well. Top point non-conference schedule. The problem is the best thing they have to show from it is a neutral site blowout win over Alabama, which is kind of an odd thing to pin your hat on.
All
but
right.
The only team that I think is worth keeping an eye on, they're an excellent offensive team. If they face a high-seeded team that has an off-shooting night, and it's going to need to be that because Northeastern does not play a So if they run into a team that just doesn't have their shooting boots on that night, Northeastern's going to put points up.
We got to keep moving here. We got a lot to get to, though, tonight. There is a ton of conferences we've got to hit, so I'm going to move things a little bit quicker here, Zach, no offense. But David, Hofstra was one of – I think we ended up having 4-1 seeds go down tonight in conference tournament finals, Gonzaga, yeah. Hofstra, in the Horizon League. Wright State falls to NKU.
Yeah, and it was never really even a game. Like NKU sprinted out to a double-digit lead. I think they led by as much as 20 in the first half. In Wright State, there was a couple times they got it under 10, but it was very seldom. Northern Kentucky was never not in control. I don't even think they were ever really sweating. And as late as the under 4 timeout, I think the margin was 20 or close to it. So the 77-66 score is generous to how NKU dominated this game. And I think that it's NKU didn't always play up to their ceiling at points in the season. They lost a lot of games that were head scratchers, most notably the two games going into the conference tournament where they lost back to back games against the teams that did not make the conference tournament.
Yeah. Cleveland State and Milwaukee. They're not even on that board there.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, just what a bizarre like couple of weeks where you, 1 week you're losing to Cleveland State and Milwaukee, and the next week you're winning the Horizon League tournament. But what a story. A recent transitional team. I think this is only their fourth year after coming off of the transition period, and it's their second NCAA tournament appearance in 3 years.
I got to say, David, they also earned this one. There was argument when last time they made the NCAA tournament, they beat a 5 seed, a 9 seed, and a 10 seed last time they made the NCAA tournament out of winning the Horizon. They played the you know a 7 first, but then the 3 and the 1 to get there this year, so they really deserve this.
Right,
and 3 in a true road – well, not true, but a virtual road game.
Well, they were red. I mean, I think they had won – I think they had finished 11-1 that year, so it wasn't as if – I mean, I know they had an easy road to the tournament, but
Sleeka, another 1 seed went down in the Northeast Conference where Fairleigh Dickinson in what was a real true road game at SFPA. I think this is now the third team that has lost a home game in a conference championship game, joining Radford and Lipscomb did that as well.
And I believe it was also the second time in 4 years that a St. Francis team was number one and ended up losing at home. Granted, the other one was a St. Francis Brooklyn, but at the same time, Fairleigh Dickinson does have a recent history of NCAA tournament appearances, but they will have a hotel in Dayton waiting for them, I'm sure.
Yeah, Zach, what are they playing, Tuesday or Wednesday night, obviously?
I would say. The other interesting thing about this is it feels like in the NEC, the road teams really win these title games more often than we see in a lot of these other conferences. I mean, I'm just trying to go through the past couple tournaments, but it's something about the Northeast Conference. It's not a great conference, but the road teams do really well in this title game.
Best conference.
Well, the home, I believe that home teams have failed to win every single conference tournament title game that they've hosted so far this season, which is amazing.
Yeah, we haven't seen a single court storming yet. They kind of tried to in Vegas for the West Coast, but I mean, it doesn't really work. Very odd, very odd.
David, the one other championship game today was in the Summit League. It did not involve the one seed, so we didn't have a one seed going down, but it did involve, shocking how North Dakota State, who did have the bigger fan support there, but just really dominated the Asomaha team.
Yeah, and you wonder, is North Dakota State going to account for itself well at all in the round of 64? Because, they won the tournament, but they were really, like, underwhelming for most of the season. I mean, this was a two-horse race between South Dakota State and Omaha. Well, Fort Wayne was way up there, too. But, nothing against North Dakota State. They did that. That's the rule. They won the tournament. But I think that there's three other teams, and two in particular, that would have done a lot better in the round of 64 than what they're probably going to.
Yeah, it is a shame. I think you're right. There were three teams in this conference that could have made some noise in the round of 64. North Dakota State was not one of them. Yeah. They barely got by the eighth seed in the semifinals, but they just had Omaha's number tonight. Omaha made a few runs, actually tied it up late, but never got over that hump.
Yeah.
Zach, I know you're here, and I know you want to talk about it, so let's go right to the conference that was in the semifinals. You already mentioned it. And in the game of the night was in the second Northeast Conference semifinal, not Vermont's demolition of complete destruction of Binghamton, but the UMBC-Hartford game, where UMBC was up about 26 points with 15 minutes left, right?
Yep, that's correct. 26 with 15 minutes to go, and Hartford had a shot to win in regulation. The game went to 2-0. UMBC was able to pull it out, give them credit, because – you know, the way they collapsed in the second half, very, very difficult for them, for any team to be able to answer, you know, that sort of implosion. But they were able to pick themselves up off the mat in the second overtime. It was really just a tremendous game, a great atmosphere at UMBC. And Joe Sherburne was the guy that was able to drag the Retrievers over the line. He only had 12 points, but he was huge in overtime, especially defensively. He played 47 minutes. Which is insane. For Hartford, Travis Weatherington played 50 minutes and scored 18. J.R. Lynch, who's their kind of go-to senior guard, he had a pretty hot shooting night in the second half, but trailed off in overtime.
Well, I think when the game fell apart in the second overtime, he fell out, did he not, in the second
half? Yeah, he had a couple of bad shots, and then he fouled out trying to draw an offensive foul 30 feet from the hoop, which was – he kind of got what he deserved in a way, but it was a shame to see. This is a very experienced Hartford team. This was the best team we've had, really, you know, I think under John Gallagher. And they got to the semis, but they just weren't able to get over the hump. And they were a no-show for the first 20 minutes. So it was an impressive comeback, but also kind of scary that they needed to get down 26. But UMBC used their experience, and they're on to the AE title game Saturday morning at what I will say is heavily favored Vermont.
Yeah, and this is the rematch of last year's title game that UMBC won on the Lyles three-pointer at the buzzer. Salika, you got a prediction. Can UMBC do it again?
I think Vermont is going to come in a very, very bad mood after what happened last year. I just don't see lightning striking twice for the Retrievers.
And David, I got to ask you this. You know, I mean, Vermont, I think, is a team that can make noise in the NCAA tournament. Just like late last year, UMBC would be a disappointment if they made it, because there's no way they would win a game.
Right. Yeah, there's that. UMBC did beat Vermont twice this year.
Yeah.
So I mean – I don't think Vermont is going to overlook them. Yeah, but,
I think they kind of did last year. That was kind of
the problem. But I don't, it's the same. I feel exactly the same I did last year. Vermont should win it. You kind of hope they do win it. They're built to win a game in the round of 64 way more than UMBC is. UMBC, if they won, they'd probably be a 15 or a 16 and have no chance of beating anybody, just like last year.
Salika, let's go over to the ACC that kicked things off today in three games involving six teams that nobody gives a damn about. But Miami beat Wake, Notre Dame beat Georgia Tech, Pitt beat Boston College. There was the final scores were a lot closer than any of these games really were. Also, I just don't think anything were even worth watching. Georgia Tech made a bit of a run on Notre Dame in the second half, right?
But I think at the end of the day, I'm sure, Louisville appreciated Notre Dame moving ahead in Georgia Tech stead. So, and this is a game that one of the few games Louisville did actually win recently. But if the Cardinals stumble tomorrow, could they possibly be looking at a 7 or 8 seed?
Yeah, and we've got, three teams that have to win kind of tomorrow just to avoid a bad loss. David, also Vatek and Syracuse played the other two winners. But then a fascinating NC State-Clemson game at noon.
Yeah, one of the more fascinating pre-quarterfinal games that you'll ever see. It's very bubblicious. A lot of people are speculating, maybe even correctly, that the loser is out and the winner may not be in, but they're still alive. I really am not big on either team. There's teams on the bubble like Texas and Indiana in particular, Florida, that I could gag on but ultimately be able to swallow. I would choke if they selected an NC State team that has only won three games against teams with winning records, has only beaten one team at home that has a winning road record and has beaten no one away from home that's within 100 miles of the NIT, much less the NCAA. I really don't think that that's good enough, and I don't think Clemson's done a whole lot more than that. And it kind of bugs me that everybody's, including our selection committee guessing expert, who is probably correct, he almost always is, that's saying the committee is going to take one of these teams. They shouldn't take either one.
Well, it's kind of funny that that this game will be the best win for either one of these teams.
It would be, right. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, NC State has wins over Penn State and Auburn. If this in Miami, now if this was football, that'd be a little more impressed. But that's pretty much NC State's entire resume is that they have two non-conference wins over power teams that just aren't very good.
Yeah, but other than that game, I think we're going to get three snoozers in the other three games. I don't think Miami, Notre Dame, or Pitt have any tomorrow. Right. But we got a little noise there, but Virginia Tech a little bit shorthanded, but I still think they could take care of Miami. Zach, I got to ask you about this. We had first-round play in the MEAC today, and after South Carolina State beat Maryland Eastern Shore, the late game featured the Juan Dixon versus Todd Bozeman matchup with Coppin State knocking off Morgan State.
I'll be honest, this might shock you. I wasn't locked into 7-24 versus 9-20, but hearing the coaches now, it's my mistake.
It was.
It's the MEAC, it's the Norfolk Scope. It's got a video stream. That's really all I can ask for, because my expectations are not terribly high. I feel like this is Norfolk State's league to lose, but it's the MEAC. Weird stuff happens. These teams really, the first half of their season, we talk about all the time, is just them going around the country getting their brains beat in the athletic department. And then when you get in the conference play, it's a matter of who can, turn it around against much very similar levels of competition. And this year, I think Norfolk State is head and shoulders the best team. The only losses that they took were Bethune-Cookman, and they did lose to Howard in their final MEAC conference game, 98-95. But, I'd be shocked if it wasn't Norfolk State, because it's a 16 seed whoever comes out of it.
Well, we've got two games tomorrow, actually, only two of the four quarterfinals. It is Norfolk State, South Carolina State, and North Carolina A&T, the two seed against Coppin State. So, David, is either one of these games going to be an upset?
Well, probably it's the MEAC, but no. Okay.
They're probably both the upsets then.
I mean, Norfolk, South Carolina State was a 5-point game in the regular season. Do you want to push it?
Stalica, the Sun Belt tournament kicked off today on campus sites in the what we call in the seven-layer burrito tournament. In the first round here, where both home teams won, Louisiana Monroe and South Alabama. Anything you took out of these games that they don't play again until Thursday?
Not too much out of these games, but at least the winners get to move forward to Lakefront Arena in New Orleans. So it'll be a fairly short trip for South Alabama and also Louisiana Monroe. But I think out of those two teams, I think Louisiana Monroe may actually have a decent chance of getting to the third rung of this ladder here.
Hey, got to get by Cliff Ellis, you know. I think he's ready to start making some noise in the Sun Belt. He's been struggling since he moved there, but let's keep going right on, David. The SWAC today was quarterfinal round day.
Yeah.
And
you want to talk about top of the line video production. These four games are just really
Jackson State was actually pretty decent. I got to give them credit.
Who's what?
Oh, Jackson State. Yeah.
Prairie View, whoever was operating the camera was not really concerned with what was happening on the floor. It would be showing the end of the floor that the players were not on.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is very true.
So,
Grambling's video stream stopped halfway through the first half. It was awful.
Yeah. Anyway, SWAC action. We've got ESPN3 for the semis on Friday. So
that's new this year. ESPN3 just picked up the semifinals for the first time ever. So we got better video coming. And only upset was the Alabama State going and winning at Jackson State.
Right.
I would really call that more of an upset, because Alabama State, I think, was as high as a third going into the final week, but they weren't able to beat any of the heavyweights like Prairie View or Texas Southern at home.
Yeah.
I would say this. I am really hoping that we get PVAM Texas Southern in the final, not just because of the two best teams, but it would be a rematch, not just because it would be a rematch of Prairie View A&M's only loss but this year, but it was a game in which Texas Southern trailed 84-68 at the under-8 timeout and won 95-90. So if we can get anything close to that in the title game, we'll get something special. So as bad as a lot of the video work is, the basketball actually can be very exciting.
Yeah. It can be exciting. Not good, but exciting.
I said exciting for a reason, yes.
We're talking about four teams playing for a spot in Dayton, but let's move on to the conferences that were not in action today but are picking up. We do have one championship game tomorrow. It's going to be the last championship game before Saturday, and it is in the Patriot League. Bucknell at Colgate, which I think, David, I'm circling this game. This is going to be the largest screen TV I have down here in my bunker. So, but this will be a good one.
In Colgate, it's been a while since they've been to the tournament. They are going to be jacked up to the roof for this one. That's going to be a fun, fun atmosphere. And it should be a really good game. Bucknell.
I think Bucknell's the better team.
And Bucknell was way ahead. I think that they were three games ahead with four games to go and just completely, like, tanked at the end of the year, just went into the tank. But especially in that semifinal game against Lehigh, it seems like they've got their mojo back.
But to answer the puppet's question, it's been 23 years since Colgate has been to the NCAA tournament. They also had, Jack Bruin was coaching there, and Donald Foyle, who was the only person in the non-scholarship era of the Patriot League that went to the NBA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We also have a lot of other conferences, 10 other conferences start tomorrow, so let's go through these as quickly as we can. It is first round day, Zach, in the Big 12 with TCU, Oklahoma State, and Oklahoma, West Virginia. So two quick questions. One, an upset in either one of those two games, and two, who wins this whole damn event?
I have a feeling Texas Tech's going to win it.
Yes.
All year I've been waiting for West Virginia to fire, and instead of firing, they've caught on fire, and it's gotten worse and worse and worse. So it would be funny to me if tomorrow they finally put it together, because we know the talent's there. And it just seems like this happens with a guy like Bob Huggins. When you can't get through to a team, it's just a lost year. And this team hasn't responded to him all year. So I think Oklahoma wins that game probably handily. On the other end, I like TCU marginally there. I really think that of the four teams, TCU is probably the best equipped to make some sort of a run through this tournament, but I like Texas Tech overall.
I'll tell you, the fascinating game we're going to have is not going to be until Thursday. We'll talk about this tomorrow night, but that Kansas-Texas game is a huge, huge game.
Yes.
Longhorns. Off the court, too, by the sounds of things.
David, Big Ten action starts tomorrow well.
Yes, sir.
And yes, you and I have something to discuss here with the 12-13 game.
Well, here we are.
We're clearing the floor out right now.
It just continues to impress and amaze that despite the dark web warping against them, here's Nebraska just 11 wins away from winning it all, like right on pace, and it starts tomorrow. It's just phenomenal.
Scarlet Knights.
It can't be matched.
Who are going to be wearing white in the Big Ten tournament for the first time ever, so that's at least something.
Well, one of the things Nebraska did a good job of doing is not inflate – like, they didn't want to lower their average net win.
Salika, who wins this event?
I am going to go with Purdue here. I don't know if I can trust Michigan State with a – I mean, they did beat Michigan twice with a thinner roster, but trying to win three games in 3 days might be a little bit of a challenge. By the same token, I know it's tough to bet against Michigan, who's actually made a habit of winning this tournament in recent years.
Yeah,
but I'll still go with my instinct and say Purdue.
I kind of agree with you. Again, another game we'll discuss this tomorrow night, that Ohio State-Indiana 8-9 game.
Oh, yeah.
Yet another fascinating 8-9 game. We'll talk a little bit about that more tomorrow
night. I'm just excited that we hopefully will get Purdue-Michigan for the first time since the beginning of December if they win their games in the quarterfinal. They met on the very first day of conference play, which is a Michigan win, by the way. And, yes, I'm going to use that game 3 months ago to justify my pick of Michigan, because obviously nothing has changed.
David, Big East tournament starts tomorrow with the 8-9 game between Providence and Butler, the 7-10 between St. John's and DePaul. Number one, does anybody care about those games? And number two, who wins the event?
Well, St. John's better care about their game. If they lose that one, they might be back in New York for the NIT.
And they've struggled with DePaul this year.
I know that some of these opening round games, it's just sort of like, you know, you feel like you kind of have to get them over with and endure them more than enjoy them. But, no, that one is important tomorrow.
DePaul right now is standing in the middle of the room, holding the grenade with the pin in the other hand. Their last three wins, comfortable home win over St. John's, a demolition of Georgetown, and a loss at Creighton. I don't know what they could do. DePaul could do anything tomorrow. And St. John's, I trust them enough. I have the sneaking suspicion that DePaul's going to win this game.
But by the same token, if St. John's is finally able to figure out the Blue Demons, they're going to be taking on a suddenly ice-cold Marquette team the following round.
The Marquette team, they've swept. They swept on the season, too. Mm-hmm. John, who's going to win this event?
This is going to be one of the wildest tournaments. We're going to have the two hottest teams facing in one of the quarterfinals, but I'm actually going to go homer for a change and say Xavier wins the tournament and gets the auto bid.
I think this is setting up as a Seton Hall type of year.
This is when Seton Hall.
I give him credit. I know he hates that sentence more than any other in the
But this is the year. This is just the type of year where they win the Big East tournament, is it not?
I was going to say, just define what is a Seton Hall type of year. I don't even know what that would
be. When they do enough and then they get into the tournament.
They win the Big East tournament and say they were there as a sixth seed or something ridiculous.
Virginia soccer, all they dream of is glorious failure. I could see Seton Hall, I guess. I mean, they're as hot as any team going into the tournament, having beaten Marquette and Villanova at home, although then it becomes the question of, what do you make of Marquette? I personally am going with Marquette. I think they're going to shake it off. The Big East tournament always, to me, has been a tournament about, you know, top players, and I don't think anybody's got Marcus Howard. So I'm still going to – I know it makes no sense given that they haven't won in about a month, but in fact, literally almost, 3 weeks. I think Marquette gets things in the direction. I actually picked them to win this tournament.
What? David, it is.
I don't feel confident, but it's a wild tournament. Sorry, go ahead.
It is also first round day in the SEC tomorrow. Missouri, Georgia, and the head coachless Texas A&M team against Vanderbilt, who was winless. So that might be, you know, bad basketball game to circle. But
Zach is on his way to Nashville. He loves bad basketball.
Don't you love it enough is the real question.
Yeah. Who wins this event? Let's forget about tomorrow's game.
No one playing tomorrow.
America. No.
Yeah. I'm afraid to say that, okay, like, I think that I'm going to go with Tennessee.
No.
But
I thought you were setting up LSU.
Well, no, the team that I think I think Auburn gets all the way to the end.
Nope, wrong again.
Kentucky's going to win this tournament. Nope.
Hello, South Carolina, the four seed.
Angry Frank.
Stop that.
Angry Frank. Yes, I concur. I changed my vote.
Auburn kind of sucks. LSU doesn't have a head coach. They're already in the championship game. They just got to pull an upset of Kentucky or Tennessee.
Yeah.
I want South Carolina in the title game because it will help just how absurd a case for Indiana or Texas is. South Carolina has done something relevant in the last 3 months.
Let's
one team.
Zach, I know you love bad basketball. Let's turn to the conference of bad basketball. The Pac-12 starts play tomorrow.
Oh, Lord. Well, the best part about it is in the early round you get Bill Walton, and I mean, you want to talk about putting lipstick on a pig. I mean, this, there's sell jobs and there's trying to sell this. It's a family show, but it's not good. Well, let's see. You start off with USC Arizona. I mean, Sean Miller's last stand. Is it really going out at, you know, 5 PM in front of 12 people at the Mandalay Bay? I say yes. I think USC is going to win that game. Colorado Cal has gone under the radar as – are they the worst power conference team in the last 5 years?
They just swept the Washington schools. Come on.
Right. They ruined a very good narrative I had. But, yes, they did, and credit to them for that. Then you've got UCLA Stanford because it's in the contract. They have to play. And then Oregon Washington State, I mean, good news. Oregon, yes, they just won at Washington. The bad news – they won 55-47. So did anybody really win? It's so bad. I think Arizona State's going to win this tournament.
Okay.
I don't care. I'm sorry. It is going to test my strength. I like bad basketball, but only when there's no expectations.
I'm taking Oregon in this event, and a few other people have. I think this is the hottest team in the conference right now, actually. And, I mean, they got to only go through Washington State and Utah, who both suck, and Arizona State sucks, and Washington sucks, and Oregon State sucks. Everybody sucks.
I mean, if you look at everybody sucks. All of their losses since February were on the road. I mean, the California trip is very difficult, and the other two are tough trips. I mean, they lost to Colorado, and they lost to Oregon State, which is a tough trip because it's obviously a rivalry game. So you can make a case for Oregon. I just want to go jump off a pier after making it, though.
Let's run through the last few conferences here kind of quickly.
Yeah, let's move on to another league.
David, Atlantic 10 first round day, GW, Mass, Richmond, Fordham tomorrow, but one, anything about those two games, and two, who wins this conference?
Right? Well, I mean, a couple things about these two games. First of all, I just don't like this ladder format. I think that they miss out on a golden opportunity to just lop off the last place team, and then you take the 13 teams and you have a quintuple header.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. What if we were able to do multiple courts in one building?
We're going to get to that in a minute. Hold on a second. Oh, that's coming.
Sorry. I agree that you do not need the 13th team. I mean, I love Fordham, but they're awful.
We need quintuple headers. It's not that we want them. It's that we need them. This conference could give it to us.
David, first of all, I just want to point out, you got to watch ESPN Plus, then NBC Sports Network, then CBS Sports Network. Then you get different network for every round. But VCU is kind of a good...
How many people want a piece of this action, though? It's so hot. Who doesn't want Richmond Fordham?
VCU is kind of a consensus that they are going to get an at-large if they lose this? Are they going to lose it?
I agree.
Who, who takes it? Is it a Davidson? Is it a Dayton? Is it somebody else? The Bonnies?
Yeah. Okay. I think it's Dayton.
Okay.
That Davidson-Dayton game is going to be really good. Davidson traditionally playing really well in this tournament. They've been kind of disappointing down the stretch right after I thought that they were starting to look like an NCAA tournament team. And I know Dayton hasn't always been there either, but I think Dayton has been better more consistently than anybody else minus VCU. And if they get to the end, I think they can win it.
All right. John, Mountain West Conference starts tomorrow with the play-in games between Boise State, Colorado State, New Mexico, Wyoming, and Air Force versus the pathetically bad San Jose State Spartans. Number one, anything about those games? And number two, who wins the whole damn thing?
Yeah, I kind of felt a little bit disappointed that Air Force wasn't able to get into the top five, but no shame in that when you finish one spot below UNLV. But by the same token, I think we're going to see history repeat itself from last year where San Diego State knocks out Nevada, also knocks out Utah State, and steals a bid out of the Mountain West. Don't shake your head at me.
I'm agreeing with you. I think that everyone's looking for this Nevada-Utah State round three. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Nevada does get knocked out, but I think Utah State's going to take the bid at the end of the day.
Is there no love for Fresno State?
No.
Yeah, I mean, they did beat Utah State, but Fresno State reminds me a little bit of St. Bonaventure in the A-10. They're very good at beating everybody except the better teams, which is kind of an issue. You have to play them all.
Zach, it's also thrilling first-round day starting at 11:30 a.m. Eastern in the Big Sky Tournament. That's a 9:30 local tip there with the Northern Arizona Sac State, Southern Utah Idaho State, and Montana State Idaho.
We got floor sweepers.
And I guess, number one, do you care about those first three games? And number two, who wins the event?
I'll tell you what, I appreciate them catering to the East Coast, but mother of God, they're playing win or go home basketball at 9:30 in the freaking morning. I mean, that's really, I wish Northern Arizona and Sacramento State a lot of that. I'd take the under in that game. Easy default is Montana, but I'm pulling for Northern Colorado.
I like it.
Because of where they were as a program, just they reached the highs of, they made the tournament in – I can't even pull it up on my screen. I remember the 2011 and then just got absolutely waxed by the NCAA, not incorrectly, and under B.J. Hill. He wasn't able to turn around, but Jeff Linder's gone in there, and he slowly turned them around into being where they really should be, which is the top of the Big Sky Conference. They're – they have more basketball talent available to them than I would argue anybody else in the league. And, it showed this year. They've had a really good year. I'm really, really rooting for them because it'd be a great kind of riches to rag to riches story. But Montana's going to be the team everyone's looking at. Now, in an odd twist, Montana and Arizona won the road games in their home and home this year.
I'm looking at that Weber State team there. I think they knock off Montana in the semifinals, and then Northern Colorado takes the thing.
I have a quick question. They are catering to the East Coast with the early starts. Chad, you and Zach both out on the East Coast. What is the attitude out there right now? Is everybody excited on the East Coast for these opening round games tomorrow?
Those Hornets jerseys for Sac State are selling out. I could not find a single one in the stores today.
No Jacks. I'm all about the Jacks. Love the Lumberjacks. No,
so Hornets. Hornets.
Yeah.
Jacks. I will say this for Weber State. They're always a factor in this tournament, but they do have one win away from home since the end of January.
Chad is right that there is a landmine for Montana waiting, but he is on the wrong side of the Cascades. You have to look to Portland State because the Vikings actually beat Montana twice during the regular season. So if Portland State wins their opener against Weber State, you better watch out if you're the Grizzlies.
Right. Yeah, Portland State's a team that's had really bad luck this year. They've had a lot of very close games, and that's a good call as well. But of course, their big win over Portland Bible early in the year, 123-40.
We're talking about Portland State, Portland Bible. It's time to move on. David, Southland Conference starts tomorrow with the play-in games. Houston Baptist, Corpus Christi against Central Arkansas. One, an upset in tomorrow's games, and two, who wins this event, especially with that Abilene Christian being shorthanded now. They had a few dismissals mid-season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's Sam Houston. They've been far and away the more impressive team, especially since Abilene Christian lost so many. I think it's two starters and another key player. A disappointing conference format here. You see it's eight teams. It's the ladder. There are 13 teams in this conference, and they miss out on an incredible opportunity to have.
There is a big name missing in here.
This is header opening round. But
John, you are right. This is the first time, I think, in 13 years now that Stephen F. Austin is not in the Southland Tournament. They lost their final game in the regular season. It was to Sam Houston. They got knocked out. But I'm kind of looking at that. New Orleans seemed to be a team that could be dangerous for Sam Houston in the semifinals. Yes. And we might see Southeastern Louisiana steal this bid.
Yeah. But what we won't see in that, what we all want to see, is a quintuple header opening round.
But I'll tell you something that we do want to see. What we really, really want to is a conference tournament where you have two games going on simultaneously with a giant curtain in between them.
This is the greatest thing to happen to basketball since James Naismith put the peach baskets on the up. It is amazing. We have court A, we have court B, we have a curtain. If you buy a ticket to the game, you can walk back and forth and watch both games. It's the greatest thing ever. The only thing that would make this better, there's 14 teams in this conference. Only 12 make the conference tournament. If they took a 13th team, we could have a quintuple header.
Well, is it a quintuple header, or would it be a triple header and a double header simultaneously? Yeah.
I think you could have two. Like, you got the women's tournament. Like, you could have the curtain separating the two, and you could have two quintuple headers going on with a curtain. Like, I can't think of any better than that.
Two developments. They have turned around the orientation of the courts this year, and most importantly, they have agreed to a two-year extension. The dual court system and curtain will continue on in to the near future. This is what America was built on.
Yes.
As for tomorrow, I'd like North Texas.
I think North Texas could pull an upset. I think that Florida Atlantic Louisiana Tech game could be a good game. Stalika, though, who wins this event besides the fans? Could we get to see basketball with a curtain, both sides of a curtain?
He was a little bit salty in the season finale at UAB, but I think Jeff Jones and Old Dominion are finally going to get over the hump this year.
Yeah, they do have a favorable side there. I think San Antonio is the easiest of the top four seeds, and Southern Miss and Western Kentucky are dangerous on the bottom there.
Be careful with ODU. There's a bit of a Hofstra in the CAA vibe, and that they can dominate the regular season. I don't know what it is. It's such a long trip for the conference tournament. They just don't seem the same team at the tournament. Maybe it's being thrown off by the brilliance of the setup there, but now it's changed 90 degrees. I'm very concerned that Old Dominion might not be ready for the game.
Yeah, I'm worried about that as well.
They might dribble the wrong way, like try shooting at the sidelines.
they might go onto the wrong court. They might be confused.
Anarchy.
David, it's survival board time.
Yeah, love the survival board. Pull it up.
There it is. Tell us about it.
Well, this is Zach. Do you know about the survival board? I'm interested to hear what you think of this.
I do. Really, that's what life is about. It's about survival. It's about advancing as well. It's about quintuple headers. It's about curtains. But curtains in this case has a totally different meaning.
Right. We do this for the selection committee. We do this to help them out.
They need our help. There's so many teams.
Right. Yeah, and they don't know who they're supposed to take, who they're supposed to look at, who they're supposed to eliminate. This helps them. We do all the work for them.
There's a North Carolina, a South Carolina, and an East Carolina. I mean, how can we expect them to know?
And Western Carolina.
Right. And Coastal Carolina, depending on how you look at it.
But we got teams in different categories here. The bold and all caps, like Liberty on the screen there, has clinched an automatic bid. They are in. They have to be in.
Yeah.
Bold and regular type is a lock. And these teams may not have clinched automatic bids, but Liberty, you have to take these teams as well.
Yeah.
The teams in italics are teams that they need to debate. Maybe they're in, maybe they're not. These are the teams that they can have the discussion about. The teams of regular type are the teams that have to win an automatic bid to get in, but they are still technically alive.
Right, and it's very important we do not mess this up, because like Northern Kentucky won their tournament tonight. If you scroll down there, you can see Yeah, say we
into the day.
Well, yeah, but they're not bold. Like, so the committee may make a mistake and leave them out if we don't do this right.
Okay. So, but heading into the day, there were a total of 225 teams left eligible to win it all. As a result of today's action, down to 208.
208.
And let's see what happened in the Horizon League.
Okay.
There it is.
There they are. Okay. They're bold in all caps. So the committee knows to take them now.
Yeah.
And you're always worried about that. Northeastern right there as well, too. You just don't want to – how bad would you feel if we forgot to do that and a team got left out because the committee didn't know?
Yeah, what if we left Iona out? I mean, Tim Close would be –
my God.
Yeah.
Well, we really do this – I mean, it's a service. But
it is.
Yes. Good argument that without this, they would legitimately forget that – unfortunately, they must take a Pac-12 team. They have to. Yeah. I mean, we're not happy about it.
Right.
We don't make the rules, but they're going to have to take one of them, and only one. For the love of God, do not
please, please, only one. But on that, let me pull this down here, David. What else do we have to do for the schedule tonight?
Well, like we're moving on to the fixed college basketball phase of it, and like last night, Chad, you had a really, really, I thought, good cause.
Thank you.
What was it you wanted? Yeah,
I wanted to keep Savannah State in Division One, and so we found somebody who can get things done.
Well,
who we tweeted to, and that was, of course, lead singer of Twisted Sister, Dee Snider.
Chad, what makes you so? Every night, I don't know if Zach's been following. We come up with an issue.
Hartford radio host Dee Snider. He's a legend in these parts.
He is, and he can get Savannah State in the tournament. We're just waiting for him to respond.
Dee Snider is not okay. Anyway, well, I want to kind of move away with that. I'm just kind of sick of people not responding and move on to something that. Let me get this. I am not as prepared as I should be.
Well, that's okay. If you drop $50,000, you can get into USC. You're
okay. Really well, Chad, I'm going to need to help you explain. Like here, we do this every year. We host this, the AC8 tournament.
Yes.
Well, what is that? And, like, how has it gone in the past? Because we've done this for 2 years, but we've run into all kinds of problems.
Yeah, we did 2 years ago. But we were trying to do it on a boat because we'd seen all those great aircraft carrier games. Unfortunately, we could only afford a rowboat and it sunk into the ocean and – that kind of failed.
Yeah, so, like, we had the bracket, we had it picked, and, like, the venue that you chose sunk into a lake.
It sunk into a lake.
As far as I know, it's the only time a tournament has been canceled because...
We did a lot better last year, though. Our boat stayed afloat. The problem was that we had a free chili competition, and Salika brought that damn chili with the spaghetti on it, and there was a mob scene, and we had to cancel the event.
Okay, well, essentially we have big plans for this event this year. We've been talking about it for a while. We're moving it to an island in the Bahamas, Pablo Escobar's Island. And it's just going to be like this luxury event. There's going to be villas. There's going to be yachts. I think Blink 182 is going to play. It's just this big festival going on.
Nice.
Yeah, and we're putting it together. I mean, because we've had bad luck the first 2 years. And I think that this we need somebody that can help us. And I think Ja Rule.
Oh, yeah, this is social media influence right here.
Yeah, I think Ja Rule is that person. He knows all about this.
It's
so,
not
like,
about actual investment. It's about Instagram models. It's about hashtags. It's
right.
About
that's what we want.
About your facts.
And Chad, I know that you wanted to keep this a surprise, like our rocket ship. How is that coming? This is all going to be
We're going to be revealing this on our show after Selection Sunday, Sunday. So David, let's not rule too many of the surprises. But how's our venue coming?
We are reaching out to Ja Rule. We want to have a basketball tournament and festival in the Bahamas on Pablo Escobar's Island. Can you help us?
Hashtag AC8.
Hashtag AC8. We just tweeted.
It's going to be hot as fire, I'll tell you. It's going to be.
Right. We're going to bring the fire. That's going to be our slogan.
Let's go to any final thoughts. John, let me bring you back in here. Any final thoughts on the evening and where we stand right now?
With their loss tonight in the Horizon League tournament, Wright State actually clinches a bid to the NIT. Please, if Dayton is not able to win the Atlantic 10 tournament, NIT selection committee, we need to make Wright State Dayton in the first round happen. Let's do a triple header. Let's have Wright State host Dayton in the Nutter Center up in Fairborn, and then make the quick trip down I-675 to Dayton later that night for the opening round games at UD Arena.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That would be a fun day.
Gem City Classic renewed.
Zach, yeah, how about you?
Wright State and Dayton don't regularly play. I don't think they played for about 10 or 11 years, so maybe longer.
Zach.
You know, this time of year, when these 2 days, you get the very early round of the good tournaments. When you get the bad games, weird things tend to happen. I am going to predict another weird thing is going to happen tomorrow when a team that has won 3 games in a row, the California Golden Bears, they are going to get it done against Colorado, make it 4 in a row. It's going to be very weird and very fantastic. When the Golden Bears get things going under Viking Jones, just 4 months too late, and really begin their ascent in the desert to another round of the Pac-12 tournament. That's my bold prediction for tomorrow. We always get something completely wild on the Wednesday. That's my prediction for what we get.
All right. I've said, why not, David?
It's kind of down to – I mean, again, it's just these next – the Wednesday and Thursday of championship week might be the greatest days of basketball out of the whole year. There's probably days where there's more games, particularly the first day, but never is there that many games of that high of stakes all the way across. And like Friday's great, Saturday's great, the NCAA tournament is great, but the next 48 hours are probably the best 48 hours of the season. They really are. Opening round of the ACC excluded.
Yeah, that's a hate watch, NC State.
And any round of the Pac-12 excluded as well. But on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. We've got Zach, John, and David. I'm Chad Sherwood, and we'll be back again tomorrow night with another video notebook. And right now it's time to find some bed. So
yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Hashtag quintupleheader.